Yo, what up, guys? It's me, Zach Lee, and welcome back to the Dish Podcast. This episode is actually going to be on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, all that other stuff, because we have finally gotten that figured out. So if you're listening from one of those, then sorry about the delay. It's been a good 2 or 3 months without posting, but we are back on our weekly grind here. Anyways, for today's episode, we have a special guest with us. Leo, he's a big guy with the Sacramento Kings, so do you want to introduce yourself?
What's up, guys? I'm Leo Biaz, managing editor for Cowbell Kingdom. We have a YouTube channel as well. We give out pretty much more of the behind-the-scenes look, as we are members of the media. We're credentials all over the NBA, and we're at almost every major event. We'll be at Summer League in Vegas, Summer League in Sacramento, possibly the NBA draft next Thursday, which is pretty exciting. And yeah, we just revealed a Marvin Bagley vlog not too long ago, so you guys can go ahead and check that out. And then, you know, if you guys just want Kings news, you can visit the website, cowbellkingdom.com. And if you want all NBA news, then definitely visit our YouTube channel. But, you know, I'm excited to be here with you guys, great YouTubers, and it's always great to have a great basketball conversation.
Yes, sir. It's facts. What's your YouTube channel called again?
Cowbell Kingdom.
Cowbell
Kingdom. Cowbell Kingdom.
Go check him out. Yeah. Cowbell Kingdom.
So for the people in the chat, the link to put his Instagram in the chat.
Oh, yeah, I was about to do that too.
So if y'all want to check him out, go ahead and do that. I watched his vlog personally. It was pretty good. I'm not going to lie.
Appreciate that.
Anytime, man. Anytime.
And now for our next guest, B-Souls, you want to, not guest, but co-host, I guess. B-Souls, you want to say what's up?
All right, what's good, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Dish Podcast. We finally are back on iTunes after a month. I'm hyped. I'm about to talk about all the topics on the board. Let's get it, man.
And Dom, say what's good.
What up? Welcome back, everybody. For all the people on iTunes and everything, there, you're welcome. Please stop DMing me and messaging me about why we're not on iTunes. We are finally back. Leave me alone about that. Basketball questions only. But
are you happy now?
Dang, like, man, the amount of people that are comment on a random ass Snapchat I put up of something stupid and be like, by the way, where are the episodes on iTunes? Blah, blah, blah. Like, jeez. I understand. There. You're welcome.
Oh, it's fixed. And once again, we do have to clarify that this is not Dom2K, by the way, because I'm still hearing from other... People that I work with for my channel, they're like... They even think that you're Dom2K. Like, I just figured out that Dom and your pod and Dom2K are two completely different people.
I don't even sound like Dom2K. Like,
and
I don't
Dom's
get
been
it.
Getting a lot of hate for things that you say.
Yo, Dom2K, I'm sorry, bro. Don't blame me. I there's nothing I can do about it, bro. We just have a popular name, I guess. He's getting a lot of hate for it. That's crazy.
Wait, I thought you said Jordan's the GOAT.
Like, I thought you were a Celtics fan. Why are you for Lonzo and the Lakers so much?
That's tough, man.
Anyways, speaking of the Lakers and the Celtics, that brings us perfectly to our first topic. Kawhi Leonard of the San Antonio Spurs supposedly actually wanting out of San Antonio, with his preferred destination being the Los Angeles Lakers. Well, he said LA, preferably the Lakers, but I guess that means he'll accept the Clippers too.
Stop it.
Hey, that's just what the report said.
The reporters are wrong. It's the Lakers. When you say LA, the Lakers. No one wants to play for the Clippers.
Damn, that's tough. That's
tough. Anyways, they are saying that the Spurs aren't in a rush to trade him because Kawhi Leonard supposedly had interest in signing the $219 million Supermax deal. So they're not giving up yet. And Kawhi himself hasn't went to the Spurs and directly said that he wanted to be traded. So I don't know if it's his manager or like where they're getting this from. But what do you guys think about this? Do you think there's any way that he still stays with the San Antonio Spurs now?
Yes. I definitely see a way. I mean, I remember at one point in time, Kobe was trying to he wanted to force his way out of the Lakers to get to freaking Chicago, wherever it was way back when, and then land almost before the three-pointer. Almost did, too. Almost Detroit. But he didn't. He decided to stick it out. The Lakers came to their senses and traded Kwame Brown for traded to get Pau Gasol with Kwame Brown. Best trade in the world outside of the infamous Celtic finesse of Brooklyn. Yeah. So I definitely see Kawhi coming to his senses, having a conversation with Pop, having a conversation with the front office or management, whoever it is, and you know, they patch things up, they play, he gets that $219 million because come on, who's turning down $219 million? It gotta be a lot going on for you to turn down a $219 million contract.
There's no state tax in Texas too, so that's $219 million, a lot more than $219 million like anywhere else.
I mean, facts. The rumors we're getting, it sounds like there is a lot going on. Because, like, I don't know, bro.
True. I mean, but is it enough for him to want to go? Like, he ain't forced his way out yet. So, I mean, it's still hope. Until he does, when he does it, that's when all hope is lost. But he ain't done it yet. He's still quiet Kawhi, you know? Well, at least to the media and the public, you know? Who knows what Kawhi's like behind closed doors?
Behind closed doors, Kawhi.
Be a whole different person. Probably. Be like Lil Tay. What if he's like Lil Tay? His uncle's forcing him to be.
Lil Kawhi.
You see that meme when he was laughing on the court with Manu? They had to hurry up and change his face because his uncle seen him or something. Jeez. I'm joking. I'm joking.
Leo, what do you think about this situation?
Well, Kawhi is a very humble human being. I mean, I don't know if you guys remember, but he was still using coupons to go to Wingstop and driving his 96 Tahoe from college, even when he signed that first contract with the Spurs. So, to me, money may not be everything, especially now that his uncle is managing him. And I feel like he definitely wants to be in L.A., and I don't think it's 100% the Lakers, man. I'm sorry to tell you that, but I think you have to give the Clippers at least a 30% shot because of the greatness of Jerry West. I think people forget about that and his connections. So I can definitely see him going there. And if you believe in what Popovich says of him not wanting to trade Kawhi to a rival, especially the Lakers, then I can see him going to Philadelphia.
I could just see him going anywhere in the East. Because I said that like as soon as the news came out, I'm not sure if the Spurs want to directly contribute to forming like a super team that they're going to have to deal with for the next 3 to 5 years, especially since apparently, I believe from what I read, Pop is still trying to coach till 2020, I believe. So
yeah, that's what I heard. That's
another team on top of the Warriors that you're going to have to compete with. So that's my thing on it.
But you think the Sixers have a better chance than the Celtics? Like, what, a package of Dario Saric, Markelle Fultz, plus the 10th pick in the draft?
That's pretty compelling.
It is, but I guess it would just depend on whether how highly they value, like, Jaylen Brown, if that's what the Celtics were willing to offer.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think it'd be Kyrie Irving. Just, you know, a package between Kyrie and the Claw. That would make more sense for the Spurs. I mean, if it came down to Jaylen Brown and something else, and I would rather take Markelle Fultz, the 10th pick in a very deep class in 2018, and, you know, Saric. So I'd hands down take that over
Kyrie
Brown.
For Kawhi, I'm not going to lie, it's pretty interesting.
I have a hard time seeing the Spurs doing that just because I don't know if they do it without any agreement from Kyrie that he'd be willing to re-sign. I know last summer he did say that he wants to go to the Spurs, but I think the reason he wanted to go there was to play with Kawhi, not with, like, Danny Green. So
he's a free agent, too.
Yeah,
so it won't even be Danny Green. That's tough.
I guess LaMarcus Aldridge. So the only way I think the Spurs would do that, take Kyrie, is if they get consent from Kyrie that he will re-sign with them. And I don't think Kyrie would give that to anyone, no matter what the team was. So I don't.
Right. I think it would have to be a sign and trade to any team. I don't think there's a team out there that is willing to give up so much equity and then just have a one-year rental. For example, I cover the Kings in Sacramento very closely, and I can see them packaging up the number two pick and a couple of young pieces. But if they get no guarantee from Kawhi, or if it's not a sign and trade, then there's no use in, you know, giving up your future for a one-year rental, especially because they know he wants to be in L.A. So that's something that teams have to really think about if they plan on trading for Kawhi.
I think there's
going
to be a
Kawhi
surprise team, to be honest. But I think it's a very, very similar situation to Paul George last year, right?
Low-key.
True.
Listen, SDC. Don't get your panties in a bunch, but I can see Kawhi. I can see Kawhi going to Detroit, man. I can see it. I mean, listen. I've seen Boogie get moved for Buddy Hield, man. Listen, anything's possible. Okay, I seen DeMarcus Cousins, who at the time was the best center in the league, get moved for Buddy Hield because the GM liked him and thought he was like Stephen Curry. So I don't know how y'all could get Kawhi Leonard.
He might like Merle.
You know?
No, we ain't giving him Merle.
To be fair, DMC is a big man, and he's not a wing. So wings are a lot more coveted in the league now.
Nah, Detroit.
SEC's like, oh my God, Kawhi's coming.
I mean, they did. Y'all get a new head coach. Y'all don't like Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin, maybe another role player or two and a draft pick. Why wouldn't Pop take that for Kawhi? Just saying.
Blake Griffin. I can't see it. And Kawhi would just leave in free agency. That's another question I have. Do you guys think, no matter what team he goes to, if it's anyone besides the Lakers, that he will leave in free agency, even if it's like to a good destination like Boston or Philly where he could compete for championships? Do you think any team besides the Lakers has a chance at keeping Kawhi Leonard?
To be honest, like, my biggest question about him was, I don't really know why he wants to leave. Like, what is his big motivation to leave? Is it,
if it's just to go to the Lakers, if he just wants to be in the LA area for some reason, then I don't know why any team would necessarily
trade for him. If it's just like I want my own team, or if like it's I just want to win a championship on a
he has his own team
or something like that, then like a team like Philly or Boston would have a higher chance. But if it's just I want to be in LA, then that's kind of dead.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of similar to the Paul George situation.
I mean, I don't think it is the same as the Paul, because Paul George, not the same, but similar. He knew that he couldn't win in Indiana. There's no way they could put a championship team around him. Kawhi Leonard was with the Spurs. I think they could.
I don't know. They
were already going to be up there. I mean, they could.
I'm just saying, similar in the aspect of wanting to play in L.A. That's what I'm saying. That's the similar part about it. Just two guys that just want to play in L.A. What entices people to play in L.A.? When it was Paul George, when Paul George was in Indiana, we had D'Angelo Russell. He wasn't saying, oh, yeah, man, I definitely want to play with him, so he probably record me on Snapchat. That just seems like what I want to play with. No, that's not what happened. He wanted to play for the Lakers. Now, he didn't. I'm pretty sure he thought, listen, I'll have that decision when it comes. We'll do what we have to do, but I want to play for the Lakers. And I feel like that's a similar thing with Kawhi. He just wants to. He doesn't want to play in that Pop system. Everyone's not built for that system. Maybe. And we heard before the season, Kawhi had a part of his game that he was ready to unleash. Maybe Pop didn't want him to unleash that part because it would just been about Kawhi. I'm just saying,
Spurs,
Pop's holding
man,
him back.
Like, to be honest, I really don't know.
Let him free.
What moves they're gonna make if Kawhi stays to like propel them past the Warriors? Because they're pretty. I mean, they're pretty much just like
banking on
DeJounte Murray's improvement, I guess, and I guess Kyle Anderson, but I don't really know like a path they can take to overtake Golden State. So it might be a situation where Kawhi just feels like I don't know if we can win here, so.
But thing is, he only requested L.A. Like, he wasn't, I want to go to L.A. or Boston or Philly or any, like, these good teams that could possibly get him, that he knows could get him. It was just L.A.
I mean,
LA.
He said he preferred L.A., but.
Well, Paul George didn't, like,
I mean,
say
when
he
first
was,
said it.
Want,
when he
Paul
first
George never said,
it, said
he wanted to be traded to L.A.
I mean, but he said he wanted to be in L.A.
He said he wouldn't mind playing there. He said he would like to play there one day. He said he could see himself playing there, but he never said, trade me to L.A.
I mean, he never said that, like, on the mic. in front of everyone. But, you know, he probably said that in an interview. He said that before. There's been reports of him actually saying he wants to be in L.A. and reports from his manager and team and all that crap that he wants to be in L.A. So he said it. I mean, we got – what didn't we get in trouble for, you know, what was it? What was it?
Tampering?
Yeah, tampering. Who were we tampering with? It wasn't Giannis. It wasn't LeBron.
We did tamper with Giannis because Magic Johnson gave him a compliment.
Hey. He's Magic, said, man.
Magic Johnson was like, he's going to bring the Bucks a championship. That's tampering.
Technically speaking, it is. That's crazy. What is the NBA?
I just got a real quick question for Leo.
But
if y'all can somehow get Kawhi to commit, would you trade the number 2 pick for Kawhi?
Again, it's an easy yes, but if there's no commitment from him to sign long term, there's no way I give up Luka Doncic for him.
Yeah.
They're gonna take Luka.
So you think the Kings are taking Luka?
Are you convinced
on
that?
No. Yeah. I mean, I'm not gonna say 100%.
You don't think they get Marvin?
There's a lot of smoke screen out right now. You know, you got Sam Amick reporting some stuff, and, you know, Woj says something else, Mike Schmidt says something else. But at the end of the day, you know, I got people telling me that it's Luka Doncic. And, you know, I've thought he was a guy since November, so I don't see why it's going to change. He's going to win the championship on Tuesday, and he will be in New York on Thursday having his name called by the King. So
that man Luka's winning or no?
So you have no concern with him, the reports of him saying, like, if he gets on a trash team, he's just going to stay for another year or two overseas because he doesn't want to play for a trash team.
No, that was false.
That was false?
That was having a three-day period between, I think it was game what? It was the Celtics and the Cavs, and we had no games for 3 days, and that was a non-NBA day. They had to put something out there, and it's funny because you never heard about that again. And I'm very good friends with Bogdan Bogdanovic from the Kings, and, you know, we talk a lot, and they're very good friends, Luka and him. And Luka came out and said, "I would love to play with Bogdan on the Kings." So, and I know Bogey wants.
That's
him
all
on
I
the
need.
Kings.
Hey, listen, I was a Bogey fan last. I was a Bogey fan before he got drafted. I've been a Luka fan for the past 2-3 years. Listen, I'm all for it. I don't mind him teaming up. I want to see it. I hope the Kings can pull that off. My only thing
I'd
is,
see him
are you
than
putting
Atlanta or
Jesus
Memphis,
Christ?
So. Facts, oh definitely. God. Don't rot in Tennessee, Jesus Christ. Anyway,
wait,
shout out to Tennessee.
Wait, hold on. Did you guys hear what Woj said? I think it was a couple days ago about how the Grizzlies can't even get like players to work out for them. I think they only got Wendell Carter, like of the top picks that actually wanted to work out for Memphis.
Yeah, it was some robo.
I didn't hear anything.
It went RoboCop on me.
Okay, I was really hoping I wasn't the only one. I was waiting to see somebody else talk.
Can you hear me now?
we
this
we
man
can hear
just
you.
Hit the Milky Way.
It's
oh, man.
Robo.
Like, yo, can you hear me now?
It's still.
Oh, Beast of Milky Way 2.
Yeah, I can't hear anything.
I heard something about, I think he said the Grizzlies couldn't get anyone to work out for him. And they only got like one guy. I think that's what he said. Something about the Grizzlies workouts, and that, if that's true, that's sad.
Yeah. I think what he was trying to say was the Grizzlies are trying to give up their number 4 pick if someone would take on Parsons' contract, which is terrible. And the Kings have a lot of flexibility. Obviously, they're not the Lakers in terms of name and, you know, glorious franchise, but they do have a lot of flexibility. They have a lot of money to spend this year, and they'll have the most money next year, over $60 million. And I think if they can come out with the package where the Kings can get number 4 pick, you know, drop Luka at 2, and then have a promise that either Bagley or Jaren Jackson is available at number 4. If you tell me Luka Doncic and with the combination of a Marvin with the Bagley or a Jaren Jackson, that's a hell of a draft, man. And the Kings would be back for sure.
So you see Doncic playing the 3 for the Kings?
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, he's every bit 6'8". That's confirmed. I have a lot of people telling me that cover him, and, you know, I'm a lot of people over there. And the thing is, I'm thinking he might be even 6'9", because the owner's son, Vivek Ranadive, he has a son, and they just posted a picture in Real Madrid. And I know when I covered Bagley when he came to Sacramento last week, a lot of people were even they were contemplating if he was even 6'11 or 6'10 because Peja was taller than him. Obviously, Bagley has that big hair and makes him look a little bit taller, but eye to eye, you know, he was a little bit shorter. And, you know, I was there, so I thought he was more of a 6'10, maybe 6'9. And I feel like Luka is 6'9 and he still has a year to grow. So I know Brandon Ingram grew 2 inches after he was drafted, so it's very possible that Luka still grows, you know, an inch or two. And, you know, he ends up at 6'9, 6'10. But the thing with Luka is he's an elite playmaker, a special, special basketball player at any age. What he's doing now is unprecedented, and I just feel like he's the best player in the draft. If I was Phoenix, I'd take him number one.
True.
But they're going to take, obviously, Aiden because he's going to sell them tickets because nobody wants to go to those games.
True. Very true.
And, you know, and it's not a knock on Aiden. I love Aiden. But in today's NBA, it's a lot more difficult to have an all-star wing. And it's a lot more important to have an all-star wing than a big man because at the end of the day, you have to ask yourself, will he contribute to winning? I know he'll score 20 and 10, just like DeMarcus did for the Kings. But if he's all about himself and his personal stats, it's not going to get you W's. And that's why the Kings have to move on from DeMarcus Cousins. You know, people see 28 and 10, but what people don't see is that, you know, he's a huge liability on defense. He never gets backs on defense, and that he doesn't contribute to winning. So Luka, to me, is a leader amongst men. You know, a lot of the legends go to him for inspiration, and he doesn't defer to anybody at 19. And to me, that's impressive. Those are qualities that I saw last year from Donovan Mitchell when Mitchell worked out for the Kings. And I was the only guy in the media, at least locally, that had Mitchell going at number 10 to the Kings. And, you know, well, that didn't happen, and then the rest happened. But it is what it is, and I just feel like Doncic is a very safe pick at number one. Yeah, and so if he doesn't go number one,
might be like,
I hope the Kings take him.
Yeah, it sounds,
and
sounds
I kind of know they will. So,
but it sounds like Doncic is better now? Like, to me personally, because I don't
– All right, cool.
Like, when I watch film, I'm not going to lie, I'm not the best, like, at studying film.
He is.
But I just – I don't know. I feel like I'd rather have personally Bagley, like for the defensive side of things.
Yeah, I'd take Doncic over Bagley.
Yeah, well, Bagley is not very good on defense. His entire awareness is, his instincts are really bad. And it was funny because when I asked him, I asked Bagley two questions at the press conference, and he pretty much said, "I'm a great defender," and I almost laughed. that was pretty harsh for me to listen. And, you know, there's someone else that works for a TV station. And he's a huge Duke fan, and even he said he almost laughed. But, you know, if he wants to believe that's all good. There's a difference between having confidence and being realistic. I think he can become a good team defender. He'll never be, just like Luka. Luka will never be a great individual defender, but I believe in his IQ to understand certain team schemes that will allow him to become a good team defender. And right now, in my opinion, I believe he's a good team defender because he has quick hands and he has size and strength, and he's only going to get stronger at the NBA level. He does carry a little bit of that baby fat still. You know, he's still 19 years old, and with all the best nutrition at the NBA level, the best trainers – once he gets stronger and in real basketball shape, he's going to be a force to be reckoned with because I can see him playing 1-4. And anytime you can give your coach that type of versatility, you're going to be, you know, beloved by the entire coaching staff and your entire fan base. And I just think that his passing will trickle down on so many of the Kings, you know, Buddy Hield, De'Aaron Fox, Harry Giles. And that's why, to me, I would not go with Bagley either at number two, because you do have Harry Giles, who didn't play last year. He has a very promising future, and, you know, he was the best player in high school when he came out. And obviously having 3 knee surgeries is not welcoming or good, but from all the reports and, you know, me watching him in practice, he looks great. Obviously, it's not the same as the game, so we'll see in Summer League here in Sacramento on July 2nd. So I'm excited, man, and
Wait, so
I wish nothing but the best for the Kings.
So when he's practicing, is it like 5-on-5 full like contact type practices, or is it just like you see him doing? So in terms of the players he's competing with on the Kings, so we're talking like Skyle. Is he like really putting up with Skyle? Like he's really? Would you if
he's
you have
up against everybody?
Would you say he's better than Skyle right now just from how it looks? You're comparing them just the work they do and everything you see in practice when they go against each other. You taking Giles over Skyle? Yeah, the answer.
I just, you know, many people are down on Skyle because he didn't have a great year last year. And he had a promising end of his rookie year when DeMarcus got traded and then he got some playing time and he showed a lot of promise. You know, he put up 32 against the Suns. Obviously, everybody does that against the Suns, but... it's hard to say because Skyle is just so skilled on offense. The thing with Skyle is he doesn't play any defense, and you know that's a problem in itself. So I would say no, only because I have to be fair when I critique Michael Porter, who I think is extremely talented. But if I want to be hard on Michael Porter, I have to be hard on Harry Giles because we have yet to see him play an actual game. And until that happens, and, you know, Coach Dave Yeager has said it multiple times, he looks good in practice, but it's a whole different ball game when it's an actual, basketball game. So we still have to see.
But, see, I'm a big Skyle guy. I believe in Skyle. So me asking that, if you would have told me, oh, yeah, he's definitely better than Skyle, then, oh, yeah, fuck Marvin Bagley. Like, then keep – you got Harry Giles. Like, I was trying to see where he's at. So he's not better than
right.
– you wouldn't take him over Skyle, but he's putting up with Skyle. So he's – He's average. He's above average. He's a good guy. I like it. I like what I'm hearing.
Right.
As long as he's not trash. Right, don't tell me he's Anthony Bennett.
No, he's not trash. No,
it's promise.
Yeah, he's
okay.
He's definitely not trash. I know the Kings ticket people are selling him like he's the next Chris Webber. He definitely has that type of upside. But now it's a matter of can he stay healthy? And, you know, the same question goes with guys like Joel Embiid, you know, and guys like Michael Porter. They have extremely high upside. But at the end of the day, if you're not on the court, you're no good to me. And I'm speaking, you know, as a general thing, not me specifically. But it's what can you do for me now? You know, fans are super impatient. They can't wait 4 years for someone to develop. You know, just look at Victor Oladipo. In today's NBA, you have to be able to produce at least in your first 3 years. If not, you know, they're going to consider you a bust. I mean, it's sad to say that, but fans are impatient, and it's always about what have you done for me lately.
Hey, man, the best ability is availability. I like that quote, and you're right. I mean, I'm not really that high on Michael Porter Jr. like I used to be, but that clearly was before the injury, so, like, a lot of things have changed in my opinion of him, even though I still see him going to the Cavs, like I predicted so long ago. Man, still remember that day.
No doubt. I mean, he might go number 8. See, at that point, and I know, and it sucks because the Kings are super high on Michael Porter. They were in Chicago to watch his workout, or he didn't work out because his hip was hurting that day. And then that's an issue in itself. I mean, you're 19, bro, and your hip hurts and you can't get out of bed. I mean, come on. But, yeah, if you're drafting 8 to 15, just like last year where the Kings took Giles at number 20, that's acceptable. It's a low risk, high reward type thing. If you have the number 2 pick in the draft, there is no way that he should even cross your mind to draft him when you got guys like Bagley, Doncic, and Jaren Jackson still available. So if the Kings draft him, that's such a Kings thing to do.
As a side note, bro, I'm looking at the Kings roster right now. We're low-key sleeping on the future of the Kings because they have a lot of really good young pieces.
No, they have great talent, but I'm just saying, if you draft Porter at 2, that's such a Kings thing to do.
Yeah,
I'd be shocked that they took him over a more sure thing like Luka Doncic.
Yeah, I mean, I think he has a promise by the Bulls that he's going to get drafted at 7, so... I think he'd be a great fit with the Bulls, honestly, or the Cavs, but definitely not at number 2. And it depends. If the Kings say, you know, that's my guy, and they pull a Danny Ainge, you know, you get someone to buy at number 2 and you get more picks, maybe a 2019 first-round pick and, you know, 5-7, then, yeah, it's acceptable. But at number 2, you can't, because this is Vlade's job on the line right now, and I wouldn't risk it on the guy. And even if he turns out to be an all-star, I still wouldn't drop him out too, because the odds are against you.
That's true. That's true.
Greg, Vlade can't afford getting fired, man. Just take Luka, have that Euro flow going with your wing players. That's gonna be a nasty duo. Man, listen. As much as I hate the Kings, I can't hate on those two guys, bro. It's crazy.
Right. Bogey and Bogey Fox and Luka is going to be deadly, man.
That'll be fun to watch.
That'll be fun.
That's a lot of airtime for De'Aaron catching lobs. I'll tell you that much.
Y'all still got Willie. Y'all still got Buddy Hield, Scal.
Willie. Personally,
he said Willie.
I'm not too sold on him.
I'm not high on Willie.
Backup center at best.
He's like he's on the same level right now as JaVale McGee.
The last year was his year to prove that he could do something. I feel like, and he
his ceiling is JaVale McGee. Take that how you
want. All I'm saying is it's pretty much at this point just a development thing and how y'all manage the players pretty much and how everything works together. But yeah, there's a lot of talent on this team.
Yeah, and I'll say this: if Willie goes to the Celtics, and I know you're a big Celtics fan, Brian, but that'd be a very good destination for him, where there's structure and he would understand his role with the Kings. There is no alpha dog on the team, so he literally thinks he's DeMarcus Cousins. And no, seriously, and that's an issue in itself. And when you don't have solidified roles, you have all these young players trying to be the guy, and that's how you lose games.
Yeah.
And until the Kings get an alpha dog or draft an alpha dog, you're gonna have Willie trying to do things that he shouldn't be doing, and it's not his fault, but it is what it is. And I just hope that he goes to a good team, becomes a good backup in the league, because he's very capable of doing that. He's very athletic. He just needs structure for sure.
It's all about fit.
So, are we talking draft talk or what? Who do you guys have going number one?
Aiden. I got Aiden.
It's gonna be Aiden. I mean, I don't think he's gonna turn out to be the best player in this draft in the future.
Luke is the best player.
He's gonna be a star, but I don't think he's gonna be the top most talked about guy in this draft. A couple years down the road,
just because of what Luka brings to the game, he's gonna be more talked about. But Aiden will have his own impact on the game, and playing with Devin Booker, that'll be a nice big man wing combo. Then, so now you can start focusing on adding probably another guy to play guard. You already have Josh Jackson. So the Suns are kind of set right now. Not set, but they have they have cornerstone pieces basically. Now they can start focusing on building around these guys and spending money on actual good vets. So I don't see why they wouldn't take Ayton. I mean, I understand Luka's Luka, but...
I can see them not taking Aiden is if they do take Luka, because there were those reports about them being, really wanting Clint Capella. And I don't know why the Rockets would do this unless they're able to get him at a much better deal than they'd be able to get to be able to keep Clint Capella. If the Rockets go after DeAndre Jordan instead of Clint Capella, and then the Suns get Clint Capella and draft Luka Doncic. That's the only reason I see them passing Aiden.
So do you like a Devin Booker Luka combo Devin Booker Aiden combo?
If they could get Clint Capella, I think it'll be better for them to take Luka Doncic.
I agree. 100%.
See, I like the only reason I say Aiden is because now you're telling me you're gonna take Josh Jackson off the bench? You're gonna put Josh Jackson on the bench?
Doncic can play point guard. He's one of those guys like a Ben Simmons where you don't have to have a strict point. He can just fit in any lineup.
Ben Simmons, to be 6'10" or whatever the hell he is, I think he's 7 feet, but who knows? He's a big guy. He's a big dude. He's pretty athletic to be that big. So putting him at point guard isn't a big risk. Luka's not nearly – well, I'm not going to say nearly. Luka's not as athletic as Ben Simmons. So putting him at the point, that might be an issue defensively.
Jackson's a better defender, and more athletic. They could put him trying to guard Damian Lillard. Just put Josh Jackson on Damian Lillard and put Luka on someone like Evan Turner or something.
I still like Ayton and Devin Booker better as a combo. I like that combo better for the future, but I have no problems with Doncic on that team, and it's a Devin Booker Doncic thing.
The Doncic and the Capella move would give them a more well-rounded like
team. Yeah,
yeah,
it would definitely work better if they could pull that off. I don't think they could pull that off, but I mean, I don't see that happening. But hey, I mean, who knows? Who knows what could happen?
My question is, who is going to be this year's like Donovan Mitchell? The guy that's going to be like a star from like 10 to 15-ish. That's going to be... I'm thinking Kevin... Like, personally, I think it's going to be Kevin Knox.
From yeah. Knox? I got faith in Kevin Knox. I actually like Kevin Knox.
I don't know. I was reading up on him a couple of days ago. And just from what I read, it... Like, he has the scoring potential is there, but like every other area of his game was suspect. So I don't know about Kevin Knox.
You don't trust Kevin Knox.
It might be Lonnie Walker, you know, from Miami, or even a Troy Brown. At least in my opinion, I'm super high on Lonnie and Troy Brown. They're both in my top 10 in terms of my top big board. You know, Lonnie is 6'5" with a 6'10", 6'11", so very similar to Donovan, and he's very ambidextrous, and he finishes well. He's super athletic. He has a beautiful jump shot, so never know. And again, you're a product of your environment, of your system, so if he falls into the right system, I can see something like that for sure.
Yeah, that's someone in the chat just brought it up. The thing, like, the knock on Kevin Knox, is that he doesn't have, like...
Jeez.
Is that he doesn't have, like, the motor, like, the desired... Like, that's what scouts are questioning, that he doesn't have the energy on the court, like, the desire to actually play. He gets uninterested easily, and if that's a player for a rookie, then I don't think he has that Donovan Mitchell type.
I'm hearing a lot of Wiggins from you, SDC. I'm not gonna lie.
He could be a Wiggins.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. What I'm hearing is a scorer that's really...
That doesn't have a desire
everything
to...
else. Motivation's not really there.
He always finds a way to bring up Wiggins. Hey, every chance he gets, he brings up Wiggins.
I'm just making Never connections. Failed. I'm just making connections, you know. That's all I'm doing, Don.
He always jabs Wiggins somehow. I hope Andrew Wiggins hears this one day. He hears you.
I hope he does, man. I want him to be better, bro. I'm just disappointed.
He said, I want him to be better.
I'm just disappointed, bro. That's all it is.
That's tough. You about to have all Canada.
They're asking about Miles Bridges on the chat. Honestly, I'm super high on Miles.
I think he has potential to be that guy in this class.
Right.
How do y'all feel about Dante DiVincenzo?
Who?
Dante
DiVincenzo,
yeah,
or whatever?
Dante, yeah.
It depends where he goes. I don't know.
He could be like the Kuzma of this draft, maybe.
Definitely. I see that. I see that much potential.
Either him or... What's that other guy from Duke? The guy that was like the tripping guy. What's
his name?
Grayson
guy.
Allen. Grayson Allen.
Grayson Allen.
Yeah.
The thing about Grayson, I don't know if it's like Donovan Mitchell potential, but I think he can be a pretty good role player.
Who, Allen?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be like Donovan Mitchell. I don't think he's going to be like the star of the league.
That'd be OD.
But I think he could come in and make like a name for himself quickly.
I'll find it funny if he goes to the Warriors. That'll just be funny.
That'd help him out a lot if he does go to the Warriors, for sure, though.
Are you sure that'll help him out a lot? I don't know. I think it might hurt him a lot.
He'd be good in that system, for sure.
I mean, no. As a player, cool. I'm just talking about off the court. Off the court-wise.
Oh.
I don't know. I mean, have you seen Jordan Bell this offseason? I'm just saying, if that's happening to Jordan Bell, and I wasn't having no personality issues out of him, I don't know about Trippy McGee over here. I don't know.
I mean, they already got the reputation of being the villain of the league. They already have
exactly. Zaza. You already got Draymond freaking Liu Kang kicking people in the nuts. So
that's what I'm saying. It wouldn't hurt if you're already viewed that.
Right.
So now you can get kicked in the nuts and trip.
That's what I'm saying. Just add fuel to the fire, you know?
Draymond gonna kick him in the nuts and then he gonna trip him right after.
So tag team. The best tag team in the league. Wow.
But no, I got Miles Bridges as my, like, I guess, sleeper guy in this draft class.
I say Miles Bridges, or I still got faith in Kevin Knox.
The only thing Miles Bridges really needs to work on is, like, I guess he needs handles. That's like the main thing. He's not very good at.
And he's actually pretty solid in that department.
He's solid in like Miles every department.
My number four guy in my top 25.
He's your number four guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty high.
A player that is really like that can do everything, but it's like he doesn't really stand out at anything, but he's good at everything. Those are the players that I would want to take, especially since he has that hunger and drive to get better too. So that's the player I'd want.
Right. I think one of his knocks is that he leaves you wanting more because you see so much, you know, upside and so much athleticism, and he has that nice left hand jump shot and stuff like that, and he always leaves you wanting more, especially last year how they lost to Syracuse, I think, Michigan State, and you're just like, man, I just wish he can just do more. And I think with more space in the NBA, it'll really exemplify or show off his entire skill set. So I'm high on him, and I think I wish it would have came out last year. But, you know, they didn't.
It's always like the players who stay an extra year and like wind up going like 10 or 11 or something, like 12, 13. Those players typically do turn out to be pretty good players in the league, I've noticed. So,
because they know they found their game a little bit. Luke Kennard. He always. Luke Kennard
would have been a star last year, not for Stan Van Gundy.
Y'all can bring them up any way possible. Merle and Wiggins, somehow.
Luke Kennard would have been a star if not for Stan Van Gundy last year. So.
A star, really?
Is he having this come-up party this year?
Yes. Now that we have a coach that actually plays players just because they deserve to be played, no matter what their status is in the league, if they're a rookie or they're a veteran. Yes.
Damn.
We have a smart coach that's not blinded by age. Coach.
So you're a Pistons fan, Zach?
Yes, sir.
Right on. I mean, yeah, I like Dwayne Casey. I just don't like his in-game adjustments. I think that's what really hampered him down as a coach, and hopefully he learns from that this year with the Pistons.
I ain't going to lie to you, man. I don't know how anyone can blame Dwayne Casey for the performances that DeMar DeRozan gave.
Oh, right.
I'm just saying, if the whole season I had a guy who was turning up and became a top five player in the league out of nowhere, and you're just putting up buckets and buckets, and you're just doing everything you got to do, and then you see LeBron James and you just say, you know what? What do you want me to do? It's LeBron. Every time. I don't know what adjustments I can make. I can't just make DeMar be great again. You just can't adjust for that. That's on DeMar.
I kind of view the Raptors as like a Eastern Conference Rockets. You know what I'm saying?
That's what you mean. Eastern Conference Clippers.
Yeah.
That's what
more
you mean.
The Clippers.
Definitely more the Clippers.
To the Rockets. Because the Rockets at least put up a fight.
At least the Rockets took the Warriors to 7. Hell, had they had Chris Paul, they would have ended them in 6.
That's going to be one of the biggest waters. Chris Paul was
there. Yeah, I don't know about that, but
I mean, that's the Clipper curse on Chris Paul. I can't help him there. That's what I think
the injuries are just part of Chris Paul. I'm not going to lie.
No, at this point, the injuries is a part of the Clipper curse. Listen, Kawhi.
Which is within Chris Paul, right?
Listen, Kawhi, if you're hearing this, just remember, Chris Paul wanted to be a Laker. They denied him. He said, I want to be in L.A. I'll go to the Clippers. He's always going to get hurt when it matters, just because he went to the Clippers. It happened in L.A. because he didn't play for the Lakers. When you don't play for the Lakers and you decide to go to the Clippers, you never leave the same.
But it wasn't his fault, though.
It wasn't his fault. Listen, it wasn't his fault. He got cursed, all right? He wanted to be in L.A. They knew he wanted to be in L.A. They sent him to L.A., all right? He was cursed. He inherited it.
Well, David Stern cursed him then, because David Stern's the one that vetoed the trade.
I hate David Stern, all right? He could have been on the Lakers playing with Kobe and Powell, all right? I wanted that to happen so bad.
Right. Chris Paul, Kobe would have been insane.
Oh, my God.
But you got a banged-up Steve Nash and Dwight Howard.
Imagine a Chris Paul, Kobe, LeBron, D-Wade final. Oh, my God. That'd be OD. Who would win, in y'all opinion?
I'm taking my Lakers, boy. I'm just saying. I'm taking CP3, Kobe, and Pau Gasol at that time over LBJ, Wade, and Bosh. Kobe's great. I feel like Kobe's greatness would have kicked
in. That's tough, but yeah. I have a question for you. I have a question for you three. What if KD and LeBron went to the Lakers and Paul George went to the Warriors? Who would win in that 7-game series?
The Lakers.
So the Lakers have what? Lonzo, Ingram, Paul George, or KD and LeBron?
Yeah, and yeah, then we're they
definitely
got Paul.
Definitely. Well, definitely. Curry,
listen,
Clay,
listen,
Draymond,
I'm just saying,
Paul George.
I'm just saying. With Lonzo,
I know.
Listen,
that's tough,
with
right?
Lonzo,
it's tough, bro.
Listen, with Lonzo, Randall, Ingram, and Kuzma, we were competitive with
I'm saying
this season with those guys, we were competitive. If you give me Lonzo,
that's
Ingram,
the regular
Kuzma,
season.
KD,
not Randall though.
No Randall, but KD and LeBron.
You can't say because you competed with them during the regular season that you were close to matching them.
Hey, we look good. All right, we look good against them.
No, it's definitely going to 7 games. No, but
listen, it's definitely going to 7 games. But we're definitely winning them. We were definitely winning game four, the seventh game. All right, we're definitely winning.
I don't know, man. I just feel like the synergy that the Warriors already have with their top three, and then you add Paul George.
Team.
That's right, so fat, and then bro. You so
switch on everything.
I'm just saying, switch on everything if you want to. You can switch on everything if you want to playing with LeBron and KD. I don't know if it's gonna work. KD's pulling up from almost half court and have fun stopping LeBron when he wants to score. Unless you're Kobe and Chris Paul, then you might lose.
It'd be a great series.
Unless you're Kobe or Chris Paul,
you like how I did that?
That's all.
It'd be a great series for sure.
It would be a great series. But, David Stern at the end of the day.
Damn, that man David Stern. And me and Lo were talking about this in the Discord. Who do y'all think is a better commissioner between David Stern?
Adam Silver. You want to know why? Because he got that racist Donald Sterling up out of there. He wasted no time. He did it immediately. You know what happened with David Stern? He still would have been the goddamn on team owner. Talking about, it would have been a fine and community service. He did his justice. Nah, Silver got him up out of there. I'm joking, honestly. I'm still taking Adam Silver.
I think he's getting rid of the one and done rule. I mean, some of the things like that he's done bad. Worst thing I think he's done, which isn't terrible, but it's just bad, is the way he reorganized the awards, because we still don't know who the regular season MVP is for some reason.
That's a fact.
That is so terrible.
Yeah, but Dom, do you think the KD going to the Warriors move, did that ruin the NBA? Or did it make it worse?
I won't say. Listen, I don't think the NBA is ruined. I'm not going to say the NBA is ruined. So, no, I don't think KD going to the Warriors ruined the NBA. No. It just put a lot of teams in a very uncomfortable position, in a very uncomfortable spot. So now, if you want to win, you have to make a move. You have to get better. There's a small margin of error. So everyone just has to be better. We have to see better teams. We have to see better basketball. And as long as I'm seeing better basketball, I'm happy. That's why I didn't understand why people didn't want. I mean, I understand why you don't want to watch the finals, but at the end of the day, it's still the two best teams. I'm not gonna say best teams because the Celtics. I'm not gonna say the best teams
because we were thinking is if David Stern was in his situation, he would have vetoed the KD move. I feel like he would have found a way to stop that.
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Just because of the fact that KD signed there, like. The Lakers tried to make a trade with a team that didn't have a commissioner didn't have an owner at the time, because wasn't that – they didn't have, a team owner. So he had to make that move for the team, and he didn't see having a super team like that.
Don't make it for – don't care. See, you shouldn't have cared too much about the Pelicans. Care about the
league. That's what I'm saying, man.
Care about the league. What's good for the league here?
You talking about – oh, man, that's not fair.
Maybe you thought it wasn't good because it would have created a super team, right?
I mean, and then look what happened. LeBron went to the Heat and created a super team.
I mean, y'all so still maybe, got a super team, Dom. Y'all just failed.
First of all, don't say we, because Kobe Kobe ended his career carrying that dumbass team, all right? He tore his Achilles with the amount of pressure on Kobe's back that season, tore his Achilles, all right? He carried that piece of crap team to every – we had Steve Nash trash behind. You know what happens when you don't have Mike D'Antoni as your coach? That. He breaks his back picking up bags of luggage, all right? Steve Nash is I hate Steve Nash. I really do. I don't hate Steve Nash. I'm just salty that he was trash on my Lakers. Dwight was hurt and didn't want to say nothing. You know, it was kind of like an IT situation, all right? We got fondled, all right? We got fondled. We got shammed. We got robbed, all right? First, David Stern robbed us, and goddamn it, whoever our owner was robbed us after that. Was it Rob? Who was it? What was his name? Kupchak. Mitch Kupchak, bum ass. Yeah. That nigga, yep, he robbed us. He didn't do his homework.
He's now the GM for the Hornets. So.
Congratulations, Charlotte. You deserve it.
Michael Jordan,
the GM. One of the worst. That's a great combo.
Yep.
That team is screwed.
Congratulations, Jordan. You played yourself. Coincidentally, they went and got Dwight Howard. Don't learn your lesson.
Anyways, I guess the last little thing we got to talk about today is possible draft day trades. I know some teams are looking to move in the lottery, or not looking to move, but are really open to moving in the lottery, which is like the Memphis Grizzlies and the Dallas Mavericks. Those teams are open to trading their picks, I hear. And then it's like in draft day, there's always that one trade that no one sees coming. Last year was the Jimmy Butler trade to Minnesota. Do you guys see anything like that going down this year?
I mean, I think the question is, when does the Kawhi
thing trade happen? If they do trade, if any trade that happens during the draft that would surprise me, it would, like the Jimmy Butler trade did, it'll be the Kawhi trade. I don't see any other. I can't really imagine any other trades happening that big, because usually how it goes is you will hear a rumor about that player wanting to get moved, and then it happens out of nowhere and no one expects it. So in that aspect, yeah, I'll have to say Kawhi, but I don't know who he will go to. I mean, hey.
Think Kawhi would get traded on draft night, though? I don't think it would happen.
Who knows?
I'm
saying if a trade of that magnitude
happened to the draft night,
it's
to the Sixers. That's the only team that would have a top pick in the draft that I think would trade for Kawhi Leonard. So if he does get traded there,
I'm just saying the aspect of like magnitude of a trade like the Jimmy Butler trade of trading an actual star, all-star, superstar player, whatever you want to say, it will be the Kawhi trade. I don't see no other big name players really get moved in the draft this season.
I mean, this is a summer. I feel like anything could happen, so I'm not putting anything off the table.
Whole time the Pelicans want to rebuild. AD gets traded. Brooklyn.
I see is just a couple like draft order movements. I don't really see anything major, like a major draft day trade happening, like a Jimmy Butler trade. Last year's offseason really spoiled us, because I feel like moving on, that's going to be the standard.
Everyone got to move.
Well, yeah, anytime LeBron's about to be on the move, it's about to be a huge offseason, though, so something's about to happen.
Yeah.
It's about to be a power balance shift of some magnitude somewhere. I know is a lot of people in Cleveland about to lose their job, and wherever LeBron go, a lot of niggas about to lose jobs. There's about to be a lot of jobs wherever LeBron go.
Cavs just told Larry Nance Jr. they're making him a cornerstone, so LeBron is gone.
Yeah, I saw that video at CC. I'm like, Larry Nance as your cornerstone?
Larry Nance.
This isn't Larry Nance
Senior. Not cornerstone, this is a foundational piece.
Right.
All the reason he's a cornerstone.
It's going to be fun. Well,
that's sad.
It's going to be fun one way or another, man. Draft day is always fun.
I love draft day, man. I'm a draft fiend.
4 days.
Yeah, wait, so is this upcoming Thursday?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I can't wait.
Loki snuck up on me. Just came out of nowhere.
It's for the Kings, at least for me, it's Luka or bust, man. They have to get Luka Doncic. Yeah. I'm going to be really disappointed.
That Luka Bogdanovic combo about to be fucking lovely. Can't wait.
Yeah.
That's what I'm calling it. The Luka Bogdanovic combo.
I really got to watch more Luka tape.
B-Sos, you have to watch more Luka tape. When I hear people say they don't see it in Luka, I just want to know, what do you look for in the basketball player? Because literally, for a guy, I'm looking at it like this. Guys like Porzingis that come over And when they played over there in the same competition Luka played against, only put up 10-9 points a game. When guys like Bogdanović didn't put up that much numbers and they were older than Luka was when he's doing this.
Yeah.
Like, listen, that's impressive. And these guys came over and killed it in the NBA. So what if their MVP, the youngest player to ever get an MVP in that league, the best 19-year-old to ever come in that league, what do you think he's going to do when he gets to the NBA? He's going to have an impact. I'm not going to say – now, I'm not saying he's the next white Jesus or anything like that. I'm just saying – I'm not saying anything like that, but he's going to have an impact on his team. Now, whether that's the Kings, whether that's the Suns, whether that's the Grizzlies, he's going to make a name for himself, can't wait.
Ain't nobody making an impact on the Grizzlies.
Listen, if anybody going to save the Grizzlies, it's Luka, all right? I got faith in him.
Nobody.
I mean, two things for me, like, that's really just holding me back. And I know it's like it's pretty bad, but it's just the stereotypical – white league, top
right.
Euro league. You know what I'm saying? That white.
That's
Euro
just racist.
Player.
That's just racist.
I know. I,
that's
all I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna lie. I know that's it is, racist. But like Darko and I don't know, man. But
listen,
I
Darko Milicic got drafted
Dirk.
In 2003.
Dirk Nowitzki's white European.
I was just thinking about that. Dirk was pretty good. I don't know. It's just the stereotype. I just feel like in general.
Porzingis.
I just feel like in general we just set the bar way too high on these prospects.
Do we,
like,
though?
Yeah.
I mean, no, you want to know why you set the bar too high? Because you're racist. That's all it is. You're like, oh, you're foreign. You got to be one of the greats. There's no middle ground. All right? You're either Dirk or you're Darko. All right? There's no middle ground. You can't be anything in between. You're Dirk or you're Darko. All right? So you have either Porzingis potential and you get that kind of respect. You have to put the numbers up, which I feel like Luke is going to do. But I mean, if you're looking at the most recent foreign guys that get drafted, Giannis, Jokic, all these great young foreign guys,
yeah.
Lauri Markkanen, these guys can play. And
Dragon
they
Bender.
And,
right.
Hey.
Yeah, that's a fact. Dragon Bender. I was like, he's one of those counterexamples.
But see, you want to know why he got drafted? Because of Porzingis, all right? No one told the Kings to go out and get a foreign big man, all right? They was being greedy, all right? There was no film on him being dominant. All right, he was averaging like 5 points a game in the Euroleague he played in. There was a big question mark there, and he definitely didn't look as good as Porzingis. It was a risk, but they looked at it as high risk, high reward, and honestly, it was high risk, no reward. All right, so that's just what they decided to do. But with Luka, there's not really a risk. He's the best foreign prospect ever. Is that a risk?
I'm confident in Luka. Like, just to make that clear, I'm confident in Luka. I think he's going to be a very successful NBA player. What I'm just saying is, like, in the past, that was what was holding me back.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, no one was hyping up, like, Dragon Bender like this, though.
Yeah, and to, just to piggyback on Brian's point, I keep saying that on all my shows. I keep telling my audience, if Luka Doncic's skin was black, we would have no issues or discussions about him being number two.
Yeah, that's true.
But because
he is
a white European, then that negative stigma comes with being a white European. Yeah. No one says nothing about Giannis Antetokounmpo, Gobert, Tony Parker. They're all Europeans, but see, they're black Europeans.
I want to take this time to say, if Luke Kennard was black,
none of
y'all will be laughing.
Why
at me for comparing that to James Harden?
I'm just saying. Lloyd, listen, you have to, in order to break that stereotype and break that stigma, you got to produce. Lauri Markkanen did it.
Right.
Porzingis did it, and Luka's going to do it. It's just
Jokic.
A matter of time. Jokic definitely did it. But
my thing with
Luka is, when was the last time you was hearing about a foreign prospect for a whole year? When was the last time you heard about a foreign prospect, like, since last year, or you was constantly hearing about the same foreign guy? I don't remember the last time you was hearing about a guy like that.
Like, no, even with Porzingis, he just came out of nowhere.
He came out like process. Weeks before the draft because of a workout video. Like, it was the craziest thing in the world. Like, oh, it's a foreign big man that can shoot and he's athletic. Oh, he seems like he has a Dirk touch. There we go. Boom. Draft him. Nick said, yeah, I'll take it. So with Luka, you've been hearing about it. You got plenty of years of film. He's been playing pro ball since he was 13. There's years of film on him. This is a different type of beast, man. I've been a Luka fan since I seen him on a 2K foreign league in like 2K 15 or 16.
Right.
He's the truth.
Hey, man.
Right.
I believe in Luka, man.
I definitely believe in Luka.
the savior always needed.
I gotta go, guys, but you know, I appreciate you guys having me on your show, and we gotta
no,
do
most
this
definitely.
Again.
No problem,
the man. I really appreciate the info, the insight y'all get. You gave our viewers about the
facts.
Kings, about the prospects.
You guys, by the way, the viewers heard it here first. The Sacramento Kings are without a doubt taking Luka Doncic. Everything else is a smokescreen.
Yep, everything. Listen, y'all know going into draft night, everything is Luka Doncic. All right, if they take anyone else, they're not going to take
And if
else.
They don't take Luka Doncic, that's a very king thing to do. Yep.
I mean, SEC got direct sources now. Sources say.
Luka Doncic is going number two. I can see the video tomorrow. Huge news.
Sources say.
Random sources from the Kings camp say that Luka Doncic is
from the Dish podcast.
He's going to play.
All right, everybody. Thank you guys so much, man.
All right, no problem. Thank you for coming on, man.
He's gonna give some Keemstar-esque kind of damn Twitch clip. Yeah, Doncic is going to the Kings. That's definitely gonna happen. You heard it right there, folks. There it was. Is he really going to the Kings? What does this mean for Sacramento?
And then Thursday comes, the Kings have selected Giannis Kolasinac out of Yugoslavia.
Giannis Kolasinac, chill.
Listen, Giannis' little brother's in this draft. I'm just saying, he could be a sleeper, too. I didn't think about that.
They have redrafted Kostakoufos from the Memphis Grizzlies.
Damn. Hey, man, but that was a really good conversation, not gonna lie.
That was.
The insight he gave was pretty cool. Bagley.
That made me like the Kings 2% more.
I'm not too high on Marvin Bagley. He's about to be like a Rudy Gay or something like that, I feel.
Damn. My thing was, he was projected to be the number one in this class, and the fact that he's like a top five prospect in this class, when he reclassified, I thought like the hype would be higher with him, but I guess not.
I ain't too harsh. Yo, I'm taking a lot of people before I'm taking Marvin Bagley, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm definitely taking Luka before Marvin.
I take Michael Porter Jr. before Marvin Bagley.
I don't know about that one, but I actually gotta see Michael Porter play. Like, I gotta see it. And I gotta see if he can stay healthy. That back thing is pretty scary. Like, the way he looked.
I don't need to see him play, I just need to see him stay healthy. That's it.
But see, the way he was looking when I seen him play in Missouri after that injury, I mean, I know it was some time ago and it was kind of fresh, so he wasn't fully healthy. He just looked so less of himself. And even if he's not even, I need him to be at least 92% of the player he was for me to be confident in him. Yeah, 92. I'm not going to say 100 or 95. That's impossible, but 92%. Paul George is 92. Paul George is 92% of what he was before that leg injury, all right? He's at least 92% of that. So at least be 92% of what you were before the back injury. If you're 85% of that, nah. I'm not taking you above Bagley. Sorry.
Man. Anyways, I guess that's all the topics that we had to cover for today's podcast. Unless you guys, do we miss anything?
Damn, you suck.
All right. Damn, you suck.
He said, all right. Well, yeah, I think we covered everything.
All right. In that case, thank you all for coming back out to this episode of The Dish. And if you're on iTunes once again, then welcome back or welcome us back. We are back. I'm back on that weekly grind. New episodes every single week for you guys to listen to. But Beasles, you want to give your outro?
All right, thank y'all for coming on and listening to the Dish Podcast. We are back on iTunes, like SDC said. And real quick, if you guys are on the iTunes version, we're going to be streaming on a weekly basis on the Twitch every single week. And also, we're also going to be doing some gaming streams throughout the week, except for next week, because I'm going to be in LA for the whole week, family vacation. But after that, gonna be weekly streams playing 2K and all of that. So go ahead and follow us on Twitch, twitch.tv.
And Fortnite.
The Dish Pod. And Fortnite. That's a fact. But
if you're trying to see us rage on Fortnite, please come follow the stream. It'll be a great time.
Yeah, I rage on that game so hard.
Who doesn't rage on Fortnite?
Nothing makes me more upset.
All I know is attack shotgun shouldn't do 7 damage to your damn body. That's some bullshit. That's all I know. I lose so many fights because fucking 7 damage. 7 fucking damage. So stupid. But you get one pump by a goddamn blue pump. That's supposed to be a green pump. The game is so backwards. Sorry. See? Started ready.
Anyways, Dom, you want to give your outro?
Thank you guys for coming out. If you're listening to this on iTunes, you're welcome. All right? And we will catch you guys next week. And Luca, welcome to the Kings, I guess.
Okay. Spoilers.
And we are out.
Dame suck.